Hey, come on around back here. Let's see what's going on in the yard today. We're talking trees, so let's see if we can't call Mr. Eisenhower out of the wasp-fighting palm tree he's got in his backyard and get him on the air and his microphone turned on. And we may just have to move you over to the next station as we get a little technical difficulty worked out. We've already got calls coming in at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. So if you'd like to talk with Mr. Eisenhower, you better get on the line quick. Text questions to 411-923, or you can email pictures if you've got a situation you're trying to help identify on a tree, or if you're you want to know what one particular tree is. I mean, last time you were on, we identified the neighbor's pecan tree. Somebody was curious what it was. You can email those to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Mr. Eisenhower, do we have a mic check?
Check. We're here. Good job. Yeah, we have a great program today. Got a lot to talk about. I wanted to encourage our listeners to get your pens ready because I've got an address I want to give you. And there's other information you might want to jot down along the way today in the broadcast, because I wanted to talk about an urban farm tour that is going on this morning. My wife Kim and I are going to be there. It starts at 9 o'clock in 1 hour from now. So I'd encourage you to, if you want to attend this urban farm tour, it's a location in Central Phoenix where Greg Peterson has planted about 70 trees, mostly edible fruit trees, in a small one-third acre.
Yep.
Urban farm. And it's just a regular residential property, not a big giant farm spread. And he shows us how to grow your own food in a very limited space. And a couple times a year, he offers a garden tour of his little farm. Today's that day. And I'd encourage you to do what we do. This is what we do at our house. When we have other things we need to do, we turn our radios on. We have three of them in our house. So at any given time, we turn the volume up on Rosie on the House, and we can go about our Saturday chores while we're listening to Rosie, no matter where we are. We have a tri-level Hallmark home, so we're up and down three levels of stairs at any given time. But we can be listening to Rosie no matter what we're doing all day long. So while you're getting ready for this urban farm tour, which starts at 9 o'clock in Central Phoenix, you can still be listening to this broadcast and then listen on your car on the way there, because Kim and I are leaving the studio at 9 o'clock today. And we're jumping over there. It's only about 10 minutes from the studio, and we're going to be there at 9 o'clock. It goes till about 10:30, and Greg's going to show us all around his urban farm. The reason I mention this is because we want to talk about urban fruit trees. And there is no reason at all that we should not have a fruit tree, an edible producing fruit tree, in every home in Phoenix. We have nearly a year-round growing season. There's no reason we shouldn't have citrus. We shouldn't have peaches. We shouldn't have grapes, pomegranates. Apricots is one of our favorites. Apples, fig trees. Can you imagine having a pomegranate that you can go out this time of year, usually in October, they're just about ripening, pulling off a nice ripe pomegranate off your tree and taking it into the kitchen and cutting it open, eating it, one that you've grown yourself? No reason you can't do that. 10 years ago, Greg Peterson introduced us to this whole concept of fruit trees, and we went to his fruit tree program, which he's been running now for 17 years, and we purchased 19 fruit trees of various variety. We have plums, peaches, apricots, nectarines, fig trees, and two different types of apples. We have a pear tree, which is amazing. But it's a long story. We planted 19 of these small little fruit trees, and right now we have an amazing variety of fruit trees that we can enjoy throughout the entire year. The fruit tree program that Greg starts every year begins in September, and he has educational classes either online or in person throughout this next couple of months. And then you can place your order for fruit trees, which are available for delivery in January and February. These are all bare root deciduous fruit trees, which you can then plant in January or February, get them into the ground, and then you'll start this wonderful process of having great fruit trees. So you can go online to this location, urbanfarm.org. Also, if you want to attend that that tour this morning. It's at 6750 North 13th Place in Phoenix. That's 6750 North 13th Place in Phoenix. You can also find that information on his website. If you forget this, just go to urbanfarm.org.
It's a residential street.
Yes, it is.
Like you said, they're third-acre lots, so parking, you may have to...
Park down the street and walk a little ways.
Do a little walking will be required.
Yeah, general cross streets are about the 101 in Glendale.
101?
Well, I'm sorry, the 51 in
there
Glendale.
There you go.
Yeah, but yeah, Glendale and 12th Street is about the cross streets. Well, speaking of which, let's talk a little bit about urban fruit trees. We have, as I said, some amazing edible fruit trees in our garden. Our favorite probably is our apricot tree. We had a little discouragement when we first planted those 19 trees, and because we had a dog that was teething, and our little young dog decided to chew at several of our trees off at about 18 inches off the ground, and we were pretty disheartened because we just put them in, and here were these nubbed off trees about 18 inches high, and we decided just to cut them and say, well, leave them in the ground, see if anything happens. Well, those trees have become our best trees because the sprouts that emerged from just below where he'd chewed them off became a candelabra of branches, this low branching architecture on these wonderful fruit trees. And they now are at a harvestable height. The trees never get to be more than about 10 feet tall. And so we have all the fruit accessible from a very low level in the tree. And we came to find out that was the instructions that Greg had told us, and we had kind of neglected. I couldn't imagine bringing home this tree and cutting it off so low to the ground. But Greg said, yeah, that's what we recommend that you do. So when you get your fruit trees in the ground, we recommend you cutting them off at a low level and then letting them sprout from there. Then you have a much more accessible fruit tree.
For an urban setting, that is a great tactic.
Yes, it is. And you can grow them much taller, sure. For commercial purposes, the harvesters are going to get up much higher in the trees. But if you have a small, confined space, you want your tree to be relatively small in size.
And that's more fruit than you'll probably still eat off of it. I mean,
they're
very prolific producers.
He cut off a couple of our apple trees the same way, and those two apple trees are only about 10 or 12 feet tall, but they are so prolific. We get tons of apples.
What type of apple?
We have both. We have Annas.
Anna?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And Dorsets grow here as well. The Annas are nice and sweet there.
Do you eat those, or do you use them more for baking?
We eat them.
You do eat them,
and we give them. We have so many, we have to give them away. I have to admit, we let a few fall on the ground because we just can't keep up with them when they're in full harvest. Another full harvest tree, one that probably is our most productive fruit tree, is our desert gold peach tree. It's amazing. It gets so heavy with fruit. We have to cull the fruit early on as the fruit is developing on the branches because it gets so heavy, and then we have to cull them again later in the season. But so that we can maintain the heavy fruit load on the branches. Otherwise, you'll get a lot of breakage. And, of course, Greg has a lot of good teaching classes on how to prune them properly every year. We do our pruning in the winter, of course, like all deciduous trees, and get them ready because peaches produce fruit on current year's growth. So they're going to produce fruit only on the branches that emerge after the dormancy. So you need to be you don't want those branches to be too tall and heavy because they're going to be loaded on the ends of the branches where the new growth is occurring. So you want to cut those back pretty severely every year so that the new growth doesn't get really, really heavy.
And other varieties are the opposite. They only produce on mature limbs that are 2 or 3 years old.
Right.
So it's important to know which ones those are because you don't want to then prune the inside of a tree that's just now ready to produce next season.
We were doing this.
Season.
That's, well, we couldn't understand why our pear tree wasn't producing fruit for like 6 years. We thought, man, I thought maybe we didn't have enough chill hours. Well, what was happening is I was cutting back all of the second year growth every year. And so I'd only have 1 year growth on the trees. Well, the second year growth is what produces the fruit on those peach trees. I mean, those pear trees. So yes, you need to know the fruiting cycle for your various trees and prune them accordingly. And it's an exciting venture. We haven't had as much luck with our grapes. We planted 12 grapes along this one fence, and the grape leaf skeletonizers have gotten them every year, and it's been hard to keep up with them. The gophers have caused a little bit of trouble, too, with those, but we're excited about working through these kind of problems. It's all part of the urban farming. You need to kind of learn how to do it over the years. And with the likes of Greg Peterson and others on his staff, we've got some really great coaches here locally in Phoenix to help us along the way with their online resources and classes they offer.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If in 10 years you'd like to have your own little orchard as well, we can help you get started. Now, I know you are on an irrigated lot. Do these trees fall in that irrigation, or did you have to go install a drip or a bubbler? What's your watering method?
Yeah, no, we planted them all in the irrigated areas, so we would never have to water. Although we did plant a couple of small trees just this last year, and we've had to supplement them because the roots are much more shallow, so we had to put a hose around those a couple of times this summer. But yeah, we have the luxury of some of irrigation, and it's great.
Those properties, you know, they're pretty
unusual.
Special.
Yeah, it's a little bit of country in the city. Yeah, we really like our place. We're out in Sunburst Farms, which is near Cactus and Tatum. It's a little community of irrigated properties in there. But there, yeah, it makes it really a lot easier once the trees get mature. That every 2 week cycle of irrigation keeps all those trees healthy.
All right. When we return, we've got fertilizer and soil preparation. We're going to talk about moving into the winter season. We're going to talk about pruning, what to cut off before the frost and what not to cut off. And we'll take your calls at 1-888-767-4348.